Well, welcome again to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, and I welcome you today and hope that you've been having a wonderful day and that you're blessed, and I know you are. If you're in the family of God, you are, whether you know it or not. We have a wonderful God, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord, and if you hear some thundering or some roaring going on, it's thundering pretty hard outside right now. Isn't it something when you hear it? Have you ever heard it thunder just so hard that it kind of vibrates through the ground on you? That the Lord and says the Lord handles that thunder. He's the one that makes that thunder. And you think about that. You think about our God is got the power to back up what He tells us, and got the power to do what He says He's going to do. And if He says that He's going to justify us, and that He has justified us, then He has the power to back it up. And He tells the truth. God cannot lie, the Bible says. And He has justified us. If you're born again, you have justification. It simply put just means that you was guilty, and now you're not. You was guilty, and now you're not. You have been justified, and God's the one that done it. And if whatever He does, no man can stay God's hand. No man can change anything that the Lord does. And the Lord said in the New Testament, or the Apostle Paul said, that He knows that life and death and anything else can take us out of the take us out of the love of God, love of Christ. And Christ is in the hand of God, and we're with Christ, so we can't lose being justified. And I'm glad of that, aren't you? We're talking about the justification in the letter J, the second study in it. It's study number 10A. And we began studying this. We're going to try to finish it up today. I think we can, and we're not going to rush it. But what I mean is I think we got enough material that we can do this one more class right here and finish up this justification. We've talked about quite a bit and seen the scriptures of what the Lord says and what He thinks about justification, and what the Apostle Paul said about it, what the Apostle John said about it. We're going to read some in Titus today. And we begin this study talking about trying to define what just and justification and how it's presented in the Bible and defined. And it's just simply clearing the guilty. You're not guilty anymore. I mean, you're guilty before God. Now, you know, one thing that's in society today is guilt. Is guilt. And that's what they're trying to get out with all this do-gooder kind of stuff, is that nobody's guilty. Nobody's done anything wrong. It's relative. Everything's relative. Nobody's guilty about nothing. If that's your way of thinking that that's what's right to you, then it's right. You're not guilty. And that's what society's trying to do. But be it known to them, they are guilty before God. Yes, they are. And every man stands guilty before God, and better have some way out of it or around it or whatever they can do if they're not going to accept Jesus Christ before they die. Best thing to do is just mind God and get saved. That, I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, why wouldn't anybody want to get saved? Why wouldn't they? I didn't have no problem. Excuse me. I didn't have no problem accepting Christ when I heard about what He could do for me and what He would be willing to do for me. Man, I went running to Him. I knew everything He told me through that preacher, Brother Roy Grigsby, that I was a sinner and I was good for nothing. And when you can accept that and you can face yourself and say, okay, and look at yourself in the mirror. I mean, look at yourself in the mirror this evening and tell yourself how good you are. And see if you can keep from laughing out loud. But we are. We're sinners. And according to the Lord, sin bringeth forth death, and that's why we die. And the Lord's tired of death. He wants to get rid of death, and He's going to get rid of death. And He has made a plan, and it's in the process, and it's working through history. And it's coming toward the end of it now. But being justified has to do with your salvation. Salvation, when you got saved, there was so many things that happened during your salvation that we need to learn about these things. And one of them is this justification. We defined it when we began this study, and then we went into a part of it. I don't know what in the world that happens to my voice every time I get on here. I know the devil's sitting there trying to choke me or something. And I'm not kidding about that. Every time you go to talking about something in God's Word, you're going to have some trouble. And I meant that. I mean, he ain't choking me, but there's something wrong with my throat all of a sudden, you know. The negative side of justification, we talked about that, remember? We talked about the law being negative as far as for man's justification. If he tried to get saved by the law and get to heaven by the law, he's in trouble. According to the scripture, it says if you break it in one place, you're guilty of all of it. And unless you can perfectly keep that law and have kept it since you come out of your mama, then you're in trouble and you're going to have another way, because the law ain't going to do it. Man's righteousness, using our own righteousness and try to convince God how good we are and how much righteousness we got. We know that we're lying when we say that. We do, sure, man does good things. The Lord admitted that. He admitted that. He said, if you being evil can do good things and give good things to your children, he admitted that. But he said it was evil. See, it's not got anything to do with what you do. It's got to do with what you are. What you are. Big, big difference. Big difference. So, see, man's righteousness is not going to work. And human works is not going to work. It can't justify a man. Human works cannot justify man. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But by his mercy, he saved us. Not by human works. And then we talked about faith mixed with works, trying to add works in with works in with faith. You know, not only your faith, but you have to get baptized. Not only your faith, but you have to do this. Not only your faith, but you have to do that. You ain't got to do nothing. You can't do anything. It's believing, faith alone in this dispensation, faith alone. And then we went into the acceptable things the Lord says can justify man. And I got encouraged about that, didn't you? That grace justifies man. That grace justifies man. Christ's blood justifies man. All these things intertwined with one another in the scriptures, and the Lord used every one of them to justify us. His grace justifies us. His blood justifies man. Christ's resurrection justifies man. We read the scripture in Romans on that, remember, in 1 Peter? And then believing in Christ for righteousness justifies man. That's what the Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It sure did. And then we talked about faith. Faith in what God has said. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? Say it with me. By the word of God. Faith in what God has said justifies man. The Bible said that in Romans chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. So today we're going to begin this last portion of this study and talk about the benefits given to the ones that are justified. What does the Bible say the benefits are? Are there benefits to being justified? You better believe it. The very first benefit is that you're not guilty anymore. You're not guilty anymore before the Lord. Your relationship with the Lord has been fixed permanently. God's not mad at you and angry at you because of your sin anymore. His wrath is not upon you anymore. You have, and you've been justified. You have been cleared of all your guilt. That's what the Bible says. Now, let's see some of the benefits that the Bible talks about. Well, the first thing is the justified receive forgiveness of sins. Doesn't it matter to you whether you've been forgiven or not? You know, that's one thing. It matters to me. I care about whether I've been forgiven, because I know what I've done wrong, and I know my heart, and I mean, all them little secret things and those things we got stuck in, them bones you got stuck in the closet, and all them little hidden things that nobody else but you and God know about. And you wouldn't even want God to know about it if it were possible. But it's just you and the Lord that knows about it, and nobody else on the planet does. Those things have been forgiven. When you got saved, you were justified, and you received forgiveness of sins. He didn't cover your sin. He took it away. You've been justified for eternity. That's what the Bible says. Listen to this in Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. The Bible says, and listen to this. It says, "Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man," what man? Jesus, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things." How many things? Did you hear what he said? How many things? All things. He said, you're justified from all things. In other words, when you're justified from all things, nobody can point a finger at you and say guilty. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe," have you believed? Then you qualify. If you believed, you're one of what he's talking about right here. "And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Remember, we talked about that just a second ago. We studied that in the negative things of justification, that the law wasn't going to justify anybody. And that's what the man just got through saying here. He said, "from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." But you can be justified by believing in him. In who? In Jesus. "He that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." Why? Because you're justified. It said that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You want to be forgiven of your sins? Then it says, "and by him all that believe are justified from all things." All somebody's good. If you're listening to this and you don't know and you're not saved, that is the best news you could have ever heard in your life. It says, "and by him all that believe are justified from all things." You want to be forgiven and justified before God of everything in your life? I mean all things. Not everything but this. No, everything. Justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now you listen to me. If you ain't saved, when this recording, when our study's over today, you bow your head and you ask the Lord Jesus Christ as best as you know how and tell him that you want to be justified from all your sins and you want to be forgiven, and you heard that Jesus Christ shed his blood for you, and that if you would believe on him and confess him and call upon his name, that he would save you. And tell him that you want to be saved, and watch what he does. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? It wouldn't work? Have you ever tried it? Do you want to be saved? Then ask the Lord to save you and watch what happens. You got to be sincere and you got to mean it. But ask him, and he'll save you. He saved me 41 years ago, almost 42 years ago. And I didn't do anything good. I wasn't justified by all. I was justified just like what we're talking about right here, right now. Everybody gets saved the same way in this dispensation. Everybody. Nobody has any works in it at all. There's a whole bunch of folks better than me. I mean, Paul said that he was the worst of sinners. Paul said that. But he said he was saved, and he's on his way to heaven. And he's the one that give us the gospel of the grace of God, the brand new covenant, the New Testament. He's the one that brought in what Jesus came and died for, the ability for us to be justified before God by the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ our Lord, by believing in him and confessing him and calling upon his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? You do that today. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. Get saved today. Now, all the rest of us, we're being saved. We're justified. The justified receive forgiveness of sins. I don't know what it's like to be completely, the Lord says I'm forgiven of all my sins, but I sin every day. Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? But it's not, because your status and your state is different now. You are in the family of God. You're a child of God. And the Lord not only forgave you of all your sins as far as in his courtroom and the legalities of it, but now he looks at you like a son, and if you sin, he's made a way for you to clear that sin, and the Lord promises to cleanse it if you'll confess it to him. 1 John 1:9. That's not to an unsaved person. That's to a saved person. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's from a father to a son. That's your daily walk with him. But as far as your eternal state and your status before the Lord, as far as being justified before him, that's in the past. That's over. He done that at the day of your salvation when you got saved. You were justified for eternity before God. Now, your daily sins and the sins that you're sinning during the day, you better confess them. Because if you don't, then the Lord says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you don't confess them, then it's like rebelling against your father and not behaving like he's supposed to as a son of God. And it says God carries a big strap, and he said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son with whom he has to do. The Lord will tear you hind end up for not confessing your sins and staying right with him. Yeah, he's a good father. He's a wonderful father. But being justified, you receive forgiveness of sins. Isn't that beautiful? To be forgiven of your sins, all of them. All of them, everything. I mean, just sit there and say it over and over and over. I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. I'm forgiven of my sins. I'm justified. I'm forgiven of my sins. Just keep on saying it and keep on saying it until you get it. You already got it, but until your brain gets it. The justified receive forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Isn't that one of the most beautiful promises you ever heard? If you've believed in the man, Jesus Christ, according to the gospel of the grace of God, you are justified from all things and have received forgiveness of sins from the Lord. Not going to, or might, but have already, right when you believed. That's why we're studying this justification, because it's part of your salvation that took place. Justification took place when you got saved. Have already, right when you believed. Hallelujah. Now that is indeed good news. the gospel, isn't it? Amen. All right, that's not all. The justified, we're talking about the benefits given to the ones that are justified. Well, justification, you receive forgiveness of sins. What else? The justified receive peace. Peace. The Lord told us before he went back to heaven, he said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. He said, but with him you're going to have peace. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The Lord gave us a peace. He gave us a peace. And even when all things, now you know if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. You know that there is an inner peace way down deep in there that has been instilled in there when God the Holy Ghost moved in. That there's a peace in there when all the turmoil and everything else is completely running amok and everything's going wrong and the world's going nuts and killing one another and perilous times are coming and we're winding this thing up and waiting on the Lord, that we got a peace. We know that there's a peace in us that's undescribable. We can't describe it to nobody. It's peace. We know that the Lord's going to keep his word. We know that God has the power to back up what he has promised us. And that it's like the writer said, I know and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In other words, I put my soul and stuck my neck out believing on Jesus Christ, and I'm staking my soul on what God has said in the Word of God, and I know he's not going to let me down. And I got a peace about that. And the longer you live with the Lord, the more you find out how indeed real he is. I mean, the more you learn about the Lord, the bigger the peace gets. Because you know he's going to be there when you leave your body at the time of death. Or you know that he promises that he's coming back. And he's either going to snatch us out of here and change our vile bodies. I mean, isn't it wonderful just to know that your sins are forgiven and you ain't got to live in that old vile body forever? That he's going to fix it up and he's going to make it like his glorious body? Isn't that good news? That's a peace, brother. That's a peace, sister. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, that's a Savior. I'm glad that Jesus is my Savior and that my Savior talks like that to me. He said, I give you peace. He said, it's not like the world's kind of peace. He said, I give it to you and let not your heart be troubled. You know, something that I want is not to be troubled. And I don't want no trouble in my heart. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I don't like being afraid either. There's so much fear in this world, and everybody tries to scare you and put fear in you about every stinking thing. I am glad I got a Savior that tries to comfort me from my heart trouble and from my fears, aren't you? He gave us peace, and he gave us permission not to be troubled and not to be scared because he's there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promised that. Now, he's either doing it or he's not. And he is. He is. The Lord said that we're supposed to come together and comfort one another with these words. And that's what we're doing right now. That's what we're doing right now. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, before people are saved, That's why this world is running so crazy and bumping heads and just running from here to there to here to there, trying to figure out a way to stay alive without facing God. But they got a constant fear in their life, in their heart, way down deep in there that they can't get rid of, that the Lord says they're without excuse. And they're going to meet him one day. And they're just going mad trying to figure out how to avoid that without coming to him. And all they got to do is come to him to get the peace. The Lord will justify you. He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you peace. And then he'll tell you not to let your heart be troubled, and don't be afraid. You know, I don't think Muhammad promised his people that. And I don't think Buddha promised his people that. As a matter of fact, I don't think any other God promises people that. Why would you not want, if you're just going to pick a God, why wouldn't you pick the one like what Jesus promises and tells him that he's going to do? You know, Jesus is either one of the biggest con artists, or he's who he says he is, and I mean that respectfully because I believe every bit in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's my Savior. But I say that because if he is not people's Savior like he says he is, and he's promising this, let not your heart be troubled and not to be afraid, and he's given us a peace, and he's a liar. Boy, he's the biggest con artist that ever was, isn't he? Because he's done conned 2,000 years worth of people into that. Isn't that something? But we know he is, don't we? We are comforted by our Savior. And I'm glad our Savior speaks to us and tells us things like that. Why would you not pick a Savior that would talk that nice to you and tell you that he's giving you peace? My peace I give to you. My peace, not the world's peace. You ever tried to have peace in the world? Have you? Have you ever tried it? It don't work, does it? How many different places did you go to try to find peace in the world? Can't count them, can we? There never was no peace, was there? Not real peace. Not real peace. You know, this is one subject the world's always yapping about. Peace, peace, peace. We just want peace. Everybody just come along. Everybody get along. Everything's relative. We just love, love, love. Warm fuzzies for everybody. Come on, let's have one big hug. This is a subject that the world yaps about all the time. Peace, 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 when there is no peace, the Scripture says. They lie to themselves and deceive themselves, and they call everybody else negative, negative, negative. You always talking negative. You say there ain't no peace in the world. No, Jesus said there wasn't no peace in the world, and I've lived here for 60-something years, and I know there ain't no peace in the world. I've been looking for it, and I ain't found it. But my Savior found me and gave it to me. It's there. There's a peace way down deep in my heart that's in there to stay. And I know it. And when I mind the Lord and I do the things that are pleasing in His sight and want to be pleasing to Him and just wait on Him, that peace is magnified and I'm comforted. Now, we go through persecutions and tribulations and trials and all that sort of stuff, but the peace is still there, isn't it? You know, the world talks about all this peace mess. The thing about it is that they don't even know what peace is until they come to Jesus. The world has no idea what peace means until they come to Jesus. They run to and fro and from place to place, hunting and searching, and all the while the Lord says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." That's what everybody wants is peace and rest in their souls. Isn't our Savior wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? What else? Well, what are we talking about? The benefits given to the ones that are justified. The justified receive forgiveness of sins. The justified receive peace. What else? The justified now bring forth fruit unto holiness. Everything you do for the Lord counts. It counts. The Lord said in his word, he said he knows those that love him. And he said, be assured that your labor is not in vain. Whatever we do for the Lord and our work here for the Lord and what we do now is worth something. It's worth something. All them bank accounts out there and all that stuff that the world does and tries to, people had so much, and then when the Great Depression come along, there was million billionaires jumping out of stinking 50-story buildings and killing themselves because they lost their bank account overnight. You call that peace? I guess having $50 million, there wasn't no fruit to it if you can lose it, huh? Well, you know something, brothers and sisters? Our justification, we can't lose. We're justified by God. The justified now bring forth fruit unto holiness. We have lives that count now, and they make a difference. What we do, what we think, what we say, what we learn, the glory and magnify our Lord in this world. Everything we do, let your light so shine before God, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Our lives count now. The justified now bring forth fruit unto holiness. The longer we stay in these bodies and the more that the Lord teaches us and we're willing to learn and have a willing mind to learn what the Lord wants us to learn, the holier we become. Yeah, we're being conformed into the image of Christ daily. Yeah, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, listen to this. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Remember them things? Paul says, what fruit did you have in them? What good were they? What kind of good did they bring forth? Well, all my dope doing and all my dope making and all my drinking and all my cussing and hell raising and all the different, all the sinning, all the cursing, blaspheming and thieving and lying to people and doing things, you know, all that kind of stuff. You remember that you're ashamed of now, and some of the things that we would never let cross our lips because nobody but we know about it. That we'd never, ever want anybody to ever, ever, ever find out that are hidden. They're not hidden. They're gone now. They're justified. They're gone. What fruit had ye in them? Nothing. That's what Paul's saying here. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? He said, for the end of those things is death. And that's true. But now, being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. My, oh my. All right, settle down. Justified, now bring forth fruit unto holiness. You know, Christians should live a holy life. They should just not make their salvation depend on their holiness. Your salvation is a done deal whether you become holy or not. You're going to become holy if God's got a whippet in you. And some brothers and sisters have to have more spankings than others. I've had to go through classes several times on certain things, but the Lord's faithful, and He's a good Father. He's a wonderful Father. What else? The justified now bring forth fruit unto holiness. Well, the justified now have imputed righteousness. Now, see, that's another part of your salvation that took place that we're going to study. It's called imputation. Imputation. And that's where Christ's righteousness was put on your account. In other words, yours disappeared and was put on the cross with Christ, along with your nature and all that flesh and all that stuff was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live, I live for the Son of God, the Bible says. The justified now have imputed righteousness. In other words, you have ownership of Christ's righteousness. It's been imputed to you. You've been justified by the imputation of Christ's righteousness being placed upon you. And you are justified before God. Christ paid to get you off the hook. And it was put on your account. It was put on you. Christ's righteousness. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So you say, I'm righteous? Yes, you are. You're righteous through Jesus Christ, who paid for it for you. And you're justified because now you're righteous before God. Yeah, that's what the Bible said. We just read it. Isn't that wonderful news? It sure ain't nothing that the world's got to teach or any of these other so-called saviors that everybody's following and trusting. The Pope can't do that. The Pope can't do that. Muhammad can't do that. I ain't never heard Muhammad or Buddha or the Pope tell their people that he died for them and say, for he hath made. I ain't never heard them say that I become sin so y'all can be saved and so you can have righteousness. Man, I don't know anybody that want any of Muhammad or the Pope or Buddha's righteousness on them. Would you? I mean, Muhammad shacked up with, 14 wives, and one of them was a nine-year-old. And he married his own daughter-in-law. I don't know about all that. I just don't sound like a savior to me. For if Christ be in you, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Isn't it funny how it ain't funny, but isn't it wonderful how the Lord not only followed through? That's how we know God is, because the more you read His Word, and the more you understand His Word, and you see how thorough He is, and how this thing of salvation, that it wasn't something man could put together. Man couldn't have done what God done in stuff we're studying. You better believe that. I tell you, the first thing is, man wouldn't have done it. And if he could have figured out how to do it, he'd have charged you for it. What's confusing to man is that God gives His away free. And they can't stand that. That's why they hate that King James Bible. The justified now have imputed righteousness. Yes, they do. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans 8:10, listen to this. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You're still in it and you're carrying it around, but it's dead. It's going back to the grave. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of righteousness. Now, that's just as plain as it can be right there, isn't it? All right. And one more. So far we've talked about what? Having to do with the benefits given to the ones. That's everything we've talked about, a sack full, isn't it? It's wonderful, the things that the Lord has done for us, having to do with this justification. The justified receive forgiveness of sins. The justified receive peace. The justified now bring forth fruit unto holiness. The justified now have imputed righteousness. And not only that, but the justified now have. Now, when I say now have, I'm talking about presently and forever eternal life. Folks, that's what the whole world is looking for, is how to stay alive. And they're looking in the wrong places, going everywhere, to and fro, trying to find out how to stay alive and keep themselves alive. That's how come the medical industry is making so much money. It's just spreading it out and just giving it to you as you need it, just to keep you a little bit alive, but let you still have some more problems so you can come back and give them some more money. Yeah. The Lord didn't even charge for healing. He didn't charge for nothing. I don't remember or recall the Lord even charging for anything in the scriptures except his orders, charging us to do something or to be something or to behave some certain way, giving us charges, but not. Ever since I've been affiliated with the Lord, it hasn't cost me anything, with the exception of a whooping that I deserved. But that came out, all my whippings from the Lord came out better. I came out better. I came out more holy. And that's what the Lord says in his word, is the purpose of being chastened. And then being taught by him, by God the Holy Ghost, being taught by him. He is a wonderful teacher. And you read God's word and keep on doing what you're doing right now and stay in God's word and just discipline yourself and sacrifice to do it. And you're the one's going to come out good about it. The justified now, presently and forever, have eternal life. You have eternal life. You're never going to disappear. You're never going to die and perish. And you're going to live. You're going to live. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 through 7. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You're going to live forever. You don't ever have to worry about dying, ever, ever, ever. We're going to go be with the Lord, and we're just going to live with him and watch how wonderful he is. And enjoy, and then, you know, when we get into eternity and look back, we are going to appreciate so much. You always read in the scriptures about the people that are gathered around the throne, and they're just worshiping God to the top of their voices and singing and praising the Lord. You know why? Because most of them folks that are up there, we ain't got there yet. And when they got there, they have realized and looked back at what a mess this earth has been and is. And where we actually were. You know, trying to find a good life in this life is like putting a gold watch on a corpse. It just don't work. It's senseless. It's useless. It's vanity trying to make a life here. This is not your home. The Lord's making our place. Your place is there, yonder. That's how we know Paul was a southerner. He said, yonder. Remember? The justified now have eternal life, the Bible says. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news. Listen, we've been talking about justification. Let me ask you something. Are you glad you're justified? Are you glad that when you got saved, this justification took place? Yes, you are, and I am too, and we should be. And it should drive us to give our Lord glory and praise because of what He's done. And we need to go believing. That's what the Bible says. Ever since we've been through this study and studied these four or five classes that we've done, we've read Scripture and read what God has said about these things. That's how come we know it's true and it's right, is because the Scriptures bear witness with the Scriptures. We compare Scripture with Scripture, and guess what? It all intertwines, and it's all beautiful, and it all matches up as truth. You know, eternal life, righteousness, holiness, peace, and forgiveness of sins. Isn't that what everybody wants and is searching for? It's all available and attainable for those who will be justified by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you won't try to make it without the Lord Jesus Christ, woe unto you. I don't know why you would not want a Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ. All the things that we've read in this study alone about justification. You know, again, this justification is just a fraction of the things that took place at the new birth, your salvation, when you were born again. But this concludes our study on the study and the portion of your salvation called justification. Amen? So what does justification mean? Well, it means that you've been let off the hook. It means you was guilty, and now you're not guilty before the Lord. And the Lord sees no sin in you. He sees righteousness, Christ's righteousness upon you. And you've been justified. You don't have to worry ever again, ever again. The Lord said, my peace I give unto you. Amen? All right. Well, that winds up our study on justification. And as we go through the ABCs of Christian growth, you'll get some more of these classes concerning the things that happen, imputation, just all the different things that happen. And you'll be glad you learned them. You'll be glad you've seen them, see them in the Word of God. So let me give you these scriptures today, okay? Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 27. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Romans chapter 6, verse 21 and 22. And chapter 8, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And the last one for our study is Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Verse 5 through 7. Well, praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters. What good news we have. We're justified. Justified, justified. Wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. And the Lord wants you to have peace. You already have it in you. You have the Lord's peace in you. Just live a life and be close to the Lord, and don't let anybody or anything in this world or in your flesh or from the devil take you away from the Word of God and take your and cause you to live a life to where you can't know the peace that's in you. We do the things that are pleasing in the Lord's sight. Amen. Well, this has been the study of justification, study number 10A, the second study in the letter J. And if I haven't tucked another study in there for J again, we'll move into, A, B, C, K. We'll move into the letter of K. And we'll see what subject we're going to learn out of God's Word with the K. You join us on the next one, okay? And the Lord bless you. I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian growth. Bye-bye.